come mamma. Un passo dopo l'altro cresce la mia forza e si inasprisce la stanchezza. Le braccia si alleggeriscono, spinte dal calore che sale e si arrampica in spirali di nuvole. Cado e mi rialzo, inciampo e non perdo l'equilibrio. Cado e mi rialzo, inciampo e non perdo l'equilibrio. Cado e mi rialzo, inciampo e non perdo l'equilibrio. Cado e mi rialzo, inciampo e non perdo l'equilibrio. Cado e mi rialzo. Cado e mi rialzo, sono rialzo, sono rialzo, sono rialzo, sono rialzo.
This is Robert Stark. I am joined here with Dino Olivieri. He is a musician and artist based in Turin, Italy. Dino, it's great talking to you.
Hi to all. Thank you.
And I'm also joined here with my co-host, Pilliter.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dino, you run a site, Onyrix.
Yeah. Onyrix is a name that comes from in Italian there is Onyrix is something like related to dreams. I don't know how to explain in English, but I think it's the same thing maybe in English. I don't know. So Onyrix is something related to dreams and art. Okay.
Is it some more like surreal?
Yeah.
You're both an artist and musician. How do you connect the two together? And would you say they're both equally your two main passions in life?
Okay. So the early inspiration in art that I had when I was a child, I started initially drawing and painting since I was a little kid, and of course my first influences were science fiction films and series and TV cartoons of the 80s, because I was a teenager during the 80s, and a film I liked when I was 8-9 years old was of course Star Wars or the episodes of Star Trek. And then the Japanese anime revolution happened in Italy during the end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s, like the giant robots created by Go Nagai or Matsumoto Worlds and characters like Captain Harlock and many other anime series from Japan. And of course, in that kind of film and movies, music and images was something so strictly stitched together. And at the same time, living in Italy, I absorbed many also classical influences in painting, illustration, also in design and in music. Because in that years, in Italy was present different movements like that we talk later maybe, like Italo Disco or New Wave and electronic dance. And that was not just music, but also an aesthetic movement. So I can't really say why I'm not just a musician or a visual artist. The two things for me are strictly connected.
And they do coincide because, I mean, obviously music either uses an album cover or a music video, but sometimes you hear a song and you picture a certain visual aesthetic. Or also if you look at a painting, you might picture a certain song playing. So they're kind of connected, and each person can have their own interpretation of what music and visual imagery goes together?
If you are talking about a style, I'm not a style or, for example, in visual art or in music, because, for example, because I like all colors or all different music styles. So exploring different harmonics or balances of different colors or sounds together is something that I like. So I'm not really linked to any particular genre, even if I like more electronic music or a certain kind of visual art. And that's why I like exploring a lot of different things. And that's also because I've stopped to produce music and visual art for many years, and I've started again after exploring and experimenting for something like 20 years before to start to publish again.
Looking at your artwork, there's a very wide variety. There's some of it is more futuristic and influenced by pop art and anime, and then some of it in kind of cyberpunk, and then some of it is a lot more traditional, influenced by like the classical artist.
Okay. First of all, I'm very fascinated by the human body. We talk about visual art, especially the female body. That's natural, not only because I'm a male, but because the female human body is, as you know, a concentration of grace and power, and because also it's curvy, and I like all the things that are curvy and that has something like mathematical curves inside. I don't know. So I used to draw figures both in a classical way and approach, even if I like also experimenting digital painting in order to achieve an expectable result in terms of shapes and colors, or simply to have more freedom to undo, redo things, or to assemble different sketches and layer faster. But, the styles, I really different styles from the Renaissance till the most modern digital illustrator present now, from comics to very professional illustration and design, and very traditional oil painters. I like to be free to experiment everything, and that's why also I'm sometimes criticized by other artists, because they say, okay, you have not defined style. But what I say is I don't want to have it. I want to be free to explore and to change every day my style, my interest. And about the, you have cited, for example, cyberpunk or other kind of artwork. For example, one kind of artwork I produce are computational images, like the computational imago. Imagos are in Latin means an unconscious representation of something, or an image that you can't produce rationally or intentionally. So, for example, my imagos are computational plots of programs written by me, and I cannot predict which image I will see, because the art piece will appear only during enough cycles of computation. That's really amazing, because every time I discover waiting in front of the monitor, new shapes and curves coming from simple formulas. And I'm very attracted by the power, the graphical power of mathematics. So I use the digital instrument also to produce graphics in a computational way. And of course, I'm very interested also in video clips and video experimentation, so also in the animation. And that's why also I experiment traditional animation, computer graphics, or I used to write programs that permit to play videos or animated GIFs like a keyboard, like a musician, in order to produce a video, like you produce a piece of music and doing a live, for example.
With your color palette, there's also a wide variety. There's a style that's sort of linked with new retro wave or vaporwave and cyberpunk, and you see a lot of neon colors. And you do some of that stuff, but you also do work that's more monochromatic.
Yes. I am not a color palette, as you see, because, as I said before, I like to experiment different colors or different gradients. I like monochrome images, colored images, duotones, tritones, soft or strong contrasts, saturation, very very high saturation images, or very soft saturated images. So, for example, I have works that are nearer to, for example, the new retro wave style of other older works. For example, I have works produced in the early 90s that are very similar to the actual vaporwave aesthetics. But because the actual vaporwave aesthetic is a remix of that kind of aesthetic. But I really like to experiment different kind of palette, and of course, now at the moment I'm much more attracted by strong colors and or strong contrast monochrome images, because at the moment it is something that I like much more to do.
I think Lenji Matsumoto is really interesting. But in the West, mostly we know him, you know, through the Daft Punk, Interstellar 5555, and he has a lot of good manga that has been translated into English, and we kind of only know, you know, through Captain Harlock and Daft Punk about his stuff. Have you had the chance to look at other things by Matsumoto other than his science fiction?
I've seen a lot of things about Matsumoto, and of course in Italy is very well known and very appreciated. For example, most of the material of Matsumoto is a translation in Italian, so the anime, the most recent movies also, but in the science fiction world in January, it is very peculiar. So Matsumoto is a world apart, I think, and of course I like it very much. Also, it's very famous in French. You have you said about the use that Daft Punk made about the visual of Matsumoto and in the video production of Interstellar. So there are many, many things that I can't really explain. It's something like a mess of feelings that I got since I was a kid, a boy. So it's strange to explain that kind of feelings and emotions about that kind of visuals and also in music, because in Italy, the music was remade by artist in Italy on the Matsumoto anime. And that kind of music and songs was for us, you of course you don't know them, but for us are very important because are strictly linked to our memory. So the music also the Italian artist has made on that kind of visual movies and cartoons was for us very important.
Are you also a fan of Akira and Ghost in the Shell?
Yeah. Of course, yes, because during the 90s, I think every teenagers or post-teenager young man, I have read a lot of cyberpunk books. So I've read Sterling, Gibson, Philip K. Dick, other novelists, and so on. In Italy, there was also present an Italian, an important Italian movement, especially in comic books, Rank, Xerox, Nothing Never, Hammer, that were very, very, very good and very quality illustrations and comic books about the cyberpunk movement. And of course, I've consumed a lot of VHS movies and anime like Akira, for example, and Ghost in the Shell. There are two masterpieces that we can't forget for sure. Cyberpunk is, I think, is a very distinctive genre, and of course, is very linked and tied to that period of time, in the middle of the 90s. And paradoxically, now is very tied to the past. If I look to the imagery, to the visual things about the cyberpunk that now are remixed and reproposed to the public are very nostalgic. I don't know, it's something like that. Of course, I love, but in which I'm not so longer interested to develop in the future, because I think there are other arguments that are a little bit more interesting, like, for example, artificial intelligence or things like that.
Oh, I noticed you did use Singularity for one of your albums. Is that a reference to transhumanism?
I'm not really a great expert about transhumanism. I'm a traditional computer scientist, but I'm not so involved in this kind of philosophical arguments. So I haven't so much to say about it. But what I can say is that I am interested, like any other human being, like you, like a friend of mine. And of course, the implications of the transformation, or the constant transformation that we are assessing in the machines, and the constant substitution of common tasks that. We are not called anymore to do in the everyday work, jobs, or activities. So, of course, there is a transformation in the relationship between humans and machines that is sometimes dramatic, and we have to manage and to understand and to reason on. I think it's a great challenge, and of course. But I'm not a very big expert in this matter.
What are your thoughts on a 1980s Italian design? Obviously, there's the famous fashion designers like Versace, but are you familiar with Ugo La Pietra's interior designs?
Of course... The Italian design for we Italians is very, very important, because if we think about very important brands of our past, of the Italian past and present, of course, from fashion, and you said interior designs, to cars, to lifestyles. I remember brands like, for example, now in a lot of video clips, music video clips, I see, especially in vaporwave on YouTube, there are many video clips are electronic music made with all the commercials taken from the Italian broadcasters or the European or American broadcasters. And there are many of them that recall brands like Martini, Ferrari, Armani, Benetton, Versace, and so on, and many, many others. And what I can say is that they have created a unique aesthetic, and the world's perception of our beautiful country and lifestyle, of course, has changed a lot during the 80s. And of course, we in Italy we have a very important tradition about design and. Also because I'm sure that we have a passion in doing things as the best we can. And, of course, in every kind of aspect that involved the image and the lifestyles and the colors and everything that makes our life a little bit better or beautiful. I don't know. There is something like that. We call bellezza, la ricerca della bellezza, the research of the beauty that for us is very important.
You have a lot of photos of the Italian Alps near where you live on your Flickr page. Can you talk about that? And did you grow up in the Alps?
Yeah. Where I live in an Italian region called Piemonte, and Piemonte is a word that means, something like at the foot of the mountain. So we are living really on the mountains, and yet the Italian Alps, the European Alps in the center of Europe are very beautiful and very important for us. And of course, because our culture is it's very old. We have a lot of stories, legend, novels, images, myths about them. So they are really part of us and our life. So, for example, I can't live far from my mountains for a long time. I can travel, but I really feel the desire to return back and of course I strongly suggest to everybody to visit the Italian Alps, because they are really magic and they are places that have has inspired a lot of novelists. For example, if you are someone is interested in Tolkien or in the fantasy novels, all that kind of images and worlds are inspired by, for example, the Italians and Austrian Alps, for example. So there are places that are really, really, really important for me and for us that live around them.
As far as your music interest goes, what were some of your earliest inspirations? Would you say it was the 80s Italo disco or even earlier than that? I think you said you grew up in the 70s.
Yeah. The early inspirations in music I remember are the first... The first music I received as a gift when I was a young boy. So at that time, music wasn't so accessible like now. So I remember, for example, the first album I've received was Grease, the soundtrack by the Bee Gees in 78. Then from, I remember another single I received was a pop music by Ham. It was a hit of the 79. I don't remember anything else of this group called M. But pop music, I was really addicted by that song at the time. Then I received the album Eye in the Sky by Alan Parsons Project in the 82. That album was very important for me. I listened in it infinitely, and I love so much that album because I think it goes seamlessly from classical to electronic to progressive rock as a very perfect album. I remember also for the French Rockets, has inspired other bands like Daft Punk or Jean-Michel Jarre. The French influences in the electronic is very strong in Italy. But also singles like Blondie's Art of Glass or album from England like Youthquake by Dead or Alive. But the most important album for me during the 80s was Flaunted by the 66 Sputnik. I don't remember wrong, it was produced by Giorgio Moroder. I remember it as a perfect album, an amazing project. Light Years Beyond in aesthetic, video clips, sound engineering, samples, anything. And I really love that album, and I suggest to the synthwave and vaporwave lovers to, for example, to take a look to the booklet of that album, because if you think that is dated 86, it's really amazing. It's really, really cool, I think. You said something about Italo Disco. Of course, yes, I was influenced by also the Italo Disco. Because I remember when I was 8, 9 years old, at the end of the 70s and beginning of the 80s, I remember one program in Italy called Disco Ring, which was the unique television program passing in January that at the time was called Electronic Rock. Electronic Rock was a particular dance music filled with electronic drums, synthesizers, vocoders, and English lyrics talking about robots, space, UFOs, and so on. Practically the best soundtrack for a sci-fi addicted boy as I was. So I can say that Italo Disco, I remember to all that is not an Italian related genre, but an European one. So when we talk about Italo Disco, it's not something like Italian disco, it's an European movement. Represents certainly a part of my musical DNA, but
I noticed an influence of Italo Disco even in your recent album.
Not so much because Singularity is much more soundtrack. So I'm working on another album at the moment. There is much more electronic dance music with lyrics, so the next one will be for sure much more influenced by the Italo Disco and all the electronic dance music of the 90s also, especially the Italian one. That's why the next one and Singularity are not so influenced by Italo Disco and or for example like in the retro wave I never use so deterministic and predictable way the sounds, the patterns, the instruments to recall strongly an idea of music. Because I don't want to repeat the same identical sounds and images of that age. And I really want to transform them in something much more contemporary, to experiment new things, being free to explore new worlds, new stories. Then I really like to listen now, and not in a nostalgic mood. Of course, I'm influenced by, I don't want to repeat the world like in other very beautiful, but I think sometimes too much characterized and defined projects in the retro wave and the vaporwave movement, for example.
Do you identify with the new retro wave genre? Because I know you're sort of, your style is slight, it's different than their genre, but there's some overlap. And I noticed you're sort of, I'd say not officially part of their scene, but kind of, I'd say, loosely affiliated. Would you say that's an accurate way to describe things?
Yeah. Partially, yes. And of course, also not so much. Because the retrowave, as I said before, as a well-defined language, and I never use that kind of language in completely. So I use also to mix classical symphonic sounds or early electronic atmospheres, or also different instruments that maybe are not so much used in the synthwave, for example, because I don't know, a saxophone or a classical or electric guitars, or for example, female choirs, and so on. So there are things that are much more experimental. So the strict synth wave or retro wave fan maybe doesn't feel comfortable with my music, because it's not so adherent to the language.
When you use classical instruments and in your music, you actually play the actual instrument, because there are, on a synthesizer, there are synthetic versions of, like, a cello or a French horn or a harp, yeah. But you actually play the actual instruments and overlap them?
Of course, classical music for me is very important, so I try often to put a little bit of orchestration inside my tracks. Of course, the main problem is that I have not a budget to pay real string instruments players and or an orchestra. So the strings arrangements and symphonic sounds you listen in, for example, in Singularity, are of course created with modern virtual orchestral instruments and played with a normal keyboard controller by me. Fortunately, the technology today permits...
So you're saying they are digital, but the digital technology is advanced enough that it can sound authentic?
Yeah, also because there is a great control over expression and dynamics, not only about the sounds, but with also a second step in programming, and with the digital audio station of today, it's possible to reproduce that kind of atmospheres without playing real instruments. Even if I know it's a very good thing to have, because real players on real instruments are of course much more interesting, but normally it's just a problem of budget at the moment, as you can imagine.
Speaking of anime, are you familiar with an anime called Legend of the Galactic Heroes? Do you know of that one?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, okay, because that is a kind of long, it's kind of like not exactly like Captain Harlock, but it's a long-running anime series, and it has novelizations, but it has to do with that not exactly cyberpunk, but maybe space opera anime. And I was just thinking of that because a friend recently introduced me to that series, and it's very futuristic, super anime society. But yes.
Yeah, interesting. I've discovered something new on Netflix recently, and I've started to watch something, but actually there are animes very, very interesting, very new, interesting animes that I'm starting to discover, because I feel so much affection for that old things that sometimes I look to these new things with, I don't know, some difficult, because they are, they speak a different language. I'm a little bit old.
With your new Singularity album, what are some of the influences and genres that have impacted that album? Some of it does remind me a lot of movie soundtracks.
Okay. Of course, on my wall I have a great collection of sci-fi and fantasy soundtracks, a lot of CDs and a lot of DVDs and VHS. So the album Singularity itself, that is a soundtrack, can be considered like a soundtrack, in my opinion. So there are many of the tracks presented in this album are composed and mixed and thought like soundtracks pieces. Of course, there are a lot of soundtracks I like. One of the most important soundtrack I have tributed in Singularity from is for example the Vangelis Blade Runner is absolutely the one I love most. In fact, for example, there is the track 8, Can Love Be Artificial, is a clear and declared tribute to the love team present in Blade Runner. Of course, there are many others soundtracks I can't list here. The approach is also to be free to discover different sounds and different atmospheres, because for example I'm also very influenced by composers by Asian composers like Joe Hisaishi, Kenji Kawai, Kento Masuda, or Sakamoto, and many others.
They're Japanese composers. What was their genre? Are they classical or contemporary?
If you think about, for example, Joe Hisaishi is more classical, or Kento Masuda, for example, is much more ambient or smooth jazz. Sakamoto is well known by everybody. But if you think, for example, to Kenji Kawai, that is the composer of the Ghost in the Shell soundtrack, is much more experimental and weird for certain things. But they have all really strong soundscape and atmospheres, and I like very much the way also the romantic feeling that they put inside their music. For example, there is a track in Singularity that is called Sex, Surrogates, and Jealousy.
Is that the one that has both the Latin female choir from a church, but there's also the Japanese-influenced kind of the fusionism in it?
Yeah. that the reason is the same I said before, because I like to mix, to experiment different things together. Like, for example, sounds that comes from the Asia with atmospheres that you can hear in a Mediterranean church here in Italy or in Greece or in South France. So that's why I mixed it, for example, Japanese percussions with electronic sounds with female Latin choirs. There is something weird to listen, but I thought it was very interesting to do.
I really like Yellow Music Orchestra, Yukihiro Takahashi. I'm quite a fan of his work, though I have not listened to any of his recent releases, but I have some of his older albums. I really enjoy some of his music. I also like this one Japanese band called Sandy and the Sunsets with Sandy. It's kind of a very obscure, but yeah, there is a lot of some of that 80s or 90s Japanese composers that are very interesting, and I think definitely most people should check out, but they're kind of still obscure.
With the album cover for Singularity, it does kind of remind me of the movie poster for the film Neon Demon, and you have the kind of, you see that symbol a lot, but it's the triangle symbol. Was that your main inspiration, or also, you also said that Clockwork Orange and Kubrick's other work, like Space Odyssey, was an influence in that as well?
Yeah, I can't exclude an unconscious influence of the design of the Neon Demon's poster, because I really like the aesthetics of that movie, and I like a lot the work of Refn, so I'm
the movie Neon Demon or Clockwork Orange?
Well, of course, the first rational thought I had about the realization of the cover album was to the Kubrick's Clockwork Orange poster, and most of all to the other one, the 2001 A Space Odyssey. For example, the font, the text font is from the Space Odyssey, and also the aesthetics, the cold colors, comes from there. The triangle is rationally taken from the Clockwork Orange, but now that you say Neon Demon, I realize that maybe the unconscious influence was strong, so. Because now that I have in mind that posters, maybe you are correct.
You use Florian Renner's illustrations on your site. Have you collaborated with him on projects?
Waiting for a series of original creation I'm doing for the restyle on my website. I have used a temporary background for the web pages, and I've used a very beautiful creation of Florian Renner, an illustration of a cityscape illuminated by neons, very, very beautiful. Unfortunately, I've not collaborated with him, and of course I love a lot his work because he's absolutely amazing.
I think the one of the neon skyline that was from one of Miami Nights 1984's album. Forget which one.
I know Miami Nights. I like them very much, but I don't remember that cover because I have to check. I don't remember.
You created a video game in 1991 called Over the Net, and it's now available online. the graphics for that actually reminds me a lot of a Leisure Suit Larry, and we had the creator Al Owen in the show. Were you a fan of that game?
Of course I remember Leisure Suit Larry, because I remember Sierra Online, the label. I don't remember, I never played with it, but I have played a lot with other Sierra Adventure games like King's Quest or Space Quest, and I remember very well the visual of that game. I remember at that time there was present different resolutions, a version 16 colors, EGA 16 colors, and VGA 2056 colors. And I've written over the net in 1991 for the VGA mode, hexadecimal 1-3. And I remember that at that time having something like 320 pixels per 200 pixels and 256 colors was something like amazing. It's strange today to assist to this. I don't know, the video games designers, the modern video game designers are producing again games and videos, lo-fi pixel art and chiptune music and sound effects. Even if they have something like 4,000 true color giant screens and super high-res smartphones and tablets. And so sometimes I think we are living in a downside world, but of course I'm of that world and I like.
Some of your illustrations reminds me of the music video Take On Me from the 80s by A-ha. Was that intentional?
No, it is not intentional. But I confess that that it's up to the adolescence that I want to make something like a video as good as that video of the A-ha. That's why Take On Me is the top track in the playlist of my youth, because I was a teenager when. I think that my television was consumed by that video. So that was a track and a video clip that has certainly impressed me a lot and that I love. I think that many works I do are certainly influenced a lot by that kind of aesthetic or style.
As far as your fan base goes, is most of your fan base in Italy and Europe, or are they spread all over the world?
Well, what I see from the social network, the YouTube or Spotify or SoundCloud statistics, I see time by time is that my fans or occasional followers come from all over the world, especially Europe and English-speaking countries like USA, Canada, Russia, Australia, New Zealand, and so on. In any case, I observe that I'm more followed abroad than in Italy. And, of course, I'm happy for that just because I want to play music globally without any frontiers. So I really don't want to be closed only within Italian public, also because the Italian public is not so warm and about the electronic music is not so popular in Italy like in the past at the moment.
So you're saying that the electronic genre is more popular outside of it in the English-speaking countries and in Italy now?
The reason, I don't know why. Certainly, it is a fact. I think that it's I don't know. It's a question of a taste, of a musical taste that has changed during the time. During the 80s and the 90s, the electronic music, especially the electronic dance music, the house music, and all the related genre, it was very, very popular. Now in Italy, the most popular genre is the pop music, and of course sang in Italian or also in English. But the main genre is of course very pop or maybe hip hop or rock, but not. The mainstream is not, of course, the electronic one.
You have done some illustrated novels. You have one, Di Undici Fogli, which means of 11 leaves. Yeah. That's a fantasy novel, and it's also a tragedy based on the tradition of the ancient Greek work. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. The Undici Foglie, as you said, means of 11 leaves. So 11 leaves is a graphical representation of the dimension of the multiverse in which we are living, respecting the most modern scientific speculation in physics. And but. Returning back to that fantasy novel is this book is the tale of the end, about the end of a parallel world, very, very similar to our world, to the contemporary world. And also is a love story between a young man and a young woman. And it's something like a tragedy, like in the Shakespeare traditions or in the ancient Greek poems. And the two lovers, Lucia and Ciri, are special in some way, and there are forces and the fate to fight for them. And the book tells a journey of 3 days before the end of the world. And it's a very strange novel that's really difficult to explain, but is in the tradition and inspired by some tales and illustrated books of the 19th century. For example, the illustrations are inspired by the Pre-Raphaelite movement that I like very much, and I suggest you all to discover. But for example, also by modern illustrators, black and white and monochrome illustrators like the Japanese Junji Ito, just to make an example, but also by many others like, for example, I missed the names, but there are a lot of illustrators of the beginning of the 20th century, the end of the 19th century, that are very, very important to me.
Are you talking about the like Art Nouveau style illustrations?
Yeah, of course. For example, Edward Barnes-Jones or illustrators and typographers and designers like William Morris, for example, just to make a couple of names. But there are.
Are you a fan of Alphonse Mucha?
Yeah, of course. I like it very much, but also Rackham is very important for me. There is fantasy tales illustrator of the past century of the, but there are many of them that are very important. Also contemporary illustrator, especially for fantasy books, but even if I am much more interested in the older one, because they had a technique much more interesting, especially in black and white and serigraphic techniques that I like very much. There are many illustrations in that book because there are something like 33 illustrations, and there is also a typographical approach in the layout of the book, like in the very old book of the 19th century. So it was been an experiment I made that is very graphical and interesting also in the way that it's presented.
You also have an upcoming illustrated novel called A Legend of a Starlight, a Saga. Is this going to be in English? I think you said your last one's in Italian.
Yeah. Of course, the previous one was written in Italian, and at the moment there is the English translation in progress, and I hope that I will publish it in the English version very, very soon. About the legend of Starlight, that in Italian is La Leggenda del Luce di Stelle, so it was a little bit different, but will be written, of course, in Italian. For me, it's much more easier to write in Italian, but will be translated contemporary also in English, because I want it. But it is a very huge project on which I'm working on something like 25 years. It's a classical space opera, split it in four lays or songs or books as you want. And the main theme about this story is about immortality. And the book is a very complex project, because there are many worlds, different languages, calendars, maps, side stories, something like a science fiction version of the Lord of the Rings. So with a lot of material that compose out of the book that kind of universe. It's a little bit much more for Hedio, because it's philosophical and epic and strongly immersive. And I don't know, because there is a lot of work to do more, and I hope to finish this book one day, but I can't say when, because it's a very huge work. I like it very much, because it's a story for which I have a big affection, and I hope to finish it very soon.
We are getting close to the end of the show. Before I wrap things up, do you want to let our audience know about your next upcoming album?
The album at the moment is in production. I think will be present something like 12 tracks. Most of them are classic electronic dance music with lyrics, very strong synthwave and retrowave influences, but also with a lot of influences coming from the house music, the classical house music coming from the 90s. It will be an interesting album, very different from Singularity for certain things, but there are similar atmospheres and sounds, and of course a different approach, because Singularity was a soundtrack, and the next album will be very different, more an electronic dance, a classical electronic dance music album.
Dino Olivieri, it's been an excellent show. I'd like to thank you for being on.
I'm very, very, very happy to be here with you, and glad to meet you.
And also, thanks, Pilliter.
It's nice talking to you guys, like always.
Okay. Thank you very much, and bye, and ciao from dall'Italia. Ciao.